It's really good to be with you this morning. As you'll know if you've been here the last few weeks, Stephen's been taking us through this series, thinking about the great expectations, or the expectations of what it means to follow God and to be part of this family here in HCC. This morning I'm going to be talking about friendship, and I'm going to be talking about hospitality. And giving a particular shout out to those people that welcome us every Sunday on the door as we come in. And, I hope you've got enough round of applause ready, and all the wonderful people that serve us tea and coffee as well after the service and look after us there as well. Rossies are very kind, isn't he? Making sure... So I'm going to be talking about what it means to have hospitality and friendship, particularly within a church setting. Not because I'm an expert on these things, but because we believe that as we open God's word together and we ask God to speak to us, that God will prompt us this morning and say something to all of us that is really helpful and important. I'd like to start off in Luke chapter 14. I think if you've got Bibles and you'd like to reach for them, or devices, then please do. It's also going to come up on the screen behind me. And we're going to think about a particular event where Jesus welcomed into the house of a Pharisee, where, if you like, he's receiving hospitality and the words that he speaks. So I'm reading verse 1, just to set the context, and then I'm stepping on to verses 7 to 14. So it says this, Luke 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come to you, come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, brothers, sisters, relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. You will be repaid when Jesus comes again. So in this context, when Jesus is speaking to his audience in first century Greco-Roman society, your seat and your status are intertwined. I've been doing a lot of seating people these last few weeks because some of you all know that I'm a teacher. So 2 or 3 weeks ago, all the classes come back and they do this strange thing for their first lesson where they all kind of shuffle in and they stand around the back of the room. And then I get out my seating plan, which looks like it's had a lot of thought put into it, but actually I don't know any of them, so it's a bit of potluck. But I get out my seating plan, and I start to explain to them where they're going to sit. Now, with those that don't know me, with my new groups, let's be honest, they don't really care where I'm going to sit them. Their only question really is, am I going to be sat next to my best mate? That's what they want to know. But with some of my groups this year, because this is how strange my sense of humour is, and before I started to do this, I explained to them that this wasn't done at random, but actually I'd based it on how successful they were as students. I'd looked at their past performance, I'd gone through a detailed process of grading them, And the most successful students and those that were going to thrive were all going to be sat at the front of the class. And then, with just a little smile, and those that know me, you see, at this point, just smile and carry on. But those that don't yet are suddenly really interested. Obviously, and then I start from the back of the class, and I start to sit people down, and you can see the disappointment on their faces. As if we're 5 minutes into lesson one, already they've disappointed me. They're sat at the back of the class, and suddenly the most desirable spot, obviously, is right under my nose, right where Ross is here. This is where everybody wants to be. Obviously, at the end, I do explain, I promise, that I am joking and there's nothing to do with that at all. But in the first century context, when Jesus is speaking, where people are seated is really important, isn't it? When people had large social gatherings, these gatherings didn't so much break down social boundaries, but they reinforced them. That as you went into that place, you would recognize who the people of honor were, and then it would work your way down to those of less importance. And if we just take the first part of this passage in isolation, what it seems like is Jesus giving people a helpful guide, a manual, if you like, in how to navigate their way through this without being embarrassed, isn't it? He's giving them a little bit of a pep talk to say, actually, when you come to a gathering like this, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't rush for the seat of honor, because if you do, there's every chance somebody might come and whisper in your ear and move you on. But instead, much better to seek out the place of least importance and then to be elevated to a place of higher honor. If we take it in isolation, that first part of the passage, it just seems that this parable of the wedding banquet, as I said, is kind of a booklet or a manual full of tips that people can follow. But then Jesus comes on in the second part of the passage, which is still on the screen here, to talk to the host, to talk to the Pharisee himself, the one who is hosting this dinner, this gathering. And Jesus' focus changes, doesn't it? Here comes the challenge. Instead of talking to those who had to follow the rules, now Jesus is talking to one of those who made the rules. And he's saying to them, actually, what is it that's going to shape the way you do hospitality? What is the purpose of all of this? Is it just about inviting your brothers, your sisters, your rich neighbors, those you're trying to impress? Is your hospitality going to be shaped by the society that you are part of? Or could it be shaped by the kingdom of God? Because what Jesus recognizes in this context is that actually only certain people are invited, and those are the people that can repay the guest. If you like, perhaps what we have here is a first century version of Come Dine With Me. If you've seen Come Dine With Me, I don't know if it's still on, I'm sure it's still repeated on a channel somewhere. But if you're not familiar with Come Dine With Me, there'd be a group of four or five people. I don't want to give you too much detail, because you might think I've watched too much of it. So from what people have told me, this is what happens. Okay? There are four or five people, and they take it in turns to go to each other's houses to enjoy dinner, but then you're in this strange situation where you want to enjoy dinner, you want to be impressed by everything that's happening, but you don't want to give them too high a score, because you want to make sure at the end of the week that you're the one that received the tens, and then you get some kind of prize at the end of it. But it's all about trying to impress others, isn't it? And maybe in this pitch that Jesus draws here, what we see is an ancient version of this. The Pharisee invites everyone to his house, and they have the finest food and the finest wine, but he's pretty certain in a week's time he'll be going to somebody else's. And maybe they'll just try and outdo him with even better wine or even better desserts. And so it goes on. But actually, what kind of hospitality is this? if we only show hospitality to those that can show it to us. If we only reach out and bless those who we believe can bless us. I'll give you my finest things, but secretly we've made a deal here. I know that in a week's time I'll come and receive the same from you. As I was reading this passage, I was reminded of where Jesus speaks in Matthew's gospel when he says, you've heard it said to love your enemy, you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to love your enemies and to bless those who persecute you. Because if all you do is love your neighbor, if all you do is love those who love you, then even the corrupt tax collectors do that. If all we do is reach out and love those who we know are going to love us back, if all we do is reach out and show hospitality to those who can reward us and repay us in the same way, then maybe Jesus is saying to us, what kind of hospitality is that? Because even the corrupt tax collectors will show love to those who love them. But actually, in the kingdom, we are called to do so much more, aren't we? I hope as you came in this morning, whether it's your first time, and you're going to receive one of these bags later, or whether you've been coming to HCC for decades, I hope you received a welcome. I hope you felt welcome as you came today. And we know when we come and gather here and we receive that welcome, we gather here as people of grace. We don't gather here based on merit. We are welcomed here first and foremost because our God welcomes us. Doesn't he? Whatever our background, whatever our situation, God says you are welcome here. Come and get to know me more. Come and worship me. And then we extend that welcome ourselves because we are part of God's family. We want to make him known and welcome people in. So it's not based on who we are. It's not based on how much money we earn, who we're connected to, our status, our friendship groups. But we are a people of grace. We are welcomed as the people that we are to come and continue by the power of the Holy Spirit to be shaped to be more like Jesus. When we talk about hospitality, I don't know what kind of picture comes into your mind. Maybe it is the wedding banquet. Maybe when we think about hospitality, we think of gatherings of hundreds of people. Maybe you think of something a little bit different. Maybe when you see pictures of hospitality like this, you go back away from here and we go back to our house or our flat or wherever we live and we look around and say, I'm not too sure I could have that kind of gathering here. I'm not sure I could be inviting hundreds of people in. I will leave hospitality to other people who can do that, who've got the mansions on the edge of Harborough. Who can host those kind of wedding banquets. Maybe hospitality isn't for me. But actually, we know that hospitality can happen in large gatherings, but so often it happens on a one-to-one basis, doesn't it? It happens when we arrive at church or we arrive in somebody's home and somebody just comes alongside us to say, you're welcome here. How are you? How's your week been? I hope many of us have had that experience already as we've come this morning and we've seen friends or we've got chatting to somebody for the first time. We need to recognize, don't we, that hospitality takes all different forms. And likewise, it involves all of us to play our part. Over the last 10 years or so, I've been telling anybody who will listen that I'm an introvert. I've found about 3 people who believe me so far. But it's true. It's something that I have learned about myself. Some days I'm quite heavily introverted. There are particular settings where I feel a bit more relaxed. I feel more relaxed among the church. But I am an introvert. And I guess there'll be others of you here today who are also introverts. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because that would probably be counterproductive. But the danger sometimes when we hear talks on hospitality is we say, praise God there are extroverts in our church who can do that for us. Isn't it? We say, actually, that's not for me, but there's plenty of extroverts here. We've seen Stephen up the front. He's great at this. We'll leave it to the extroverts. But actually, it needs all of us, doesn't it? God calls all of us to reach out and to be engaged in hospitality. And it might not be on that big scale, but it might be with the person sat next to us this morning. It might be with that person that we noticed who came in today that we haven't met before and that we go and have a conversation with afterwards. And so often those one-to-one conversations are all the more important. I'd like to share a story with you. I was saying to Jen yesterday, I wasn't sure how to share this story because I want you to hear this story about God and not about me. But it's a story that stuck with me in terms of what hospitality looks like and also how God is at work all of the time. I went to meet up with a friend in London about, this is one of these stories where you say a few months ago. I think it's probably about 7 years, but let's say a few months ago because it makes me feel younger. And he was somebody being part of our church in Stortford. He was then studying in London. I was going to be there that night, and I said, let's just meet up and have something to eat, and we'll catch up. And when I got there, he hadn't arrived yet. I was at the train station. I was waiting for him. And I got chatting to a gentleman who arrived and came off the train. And it became apparent quite early on that this gentleman was homeless. He knew where he was heading to. He had a couple of numbers of people he was going to call. But nevertheless, he'd just come down from Birmingham and he didn't have a fixed place to live. So whilst I was waiting for my friend and not knowing what time he was going to turn up, I took this guy for something to eat. And I didn't eat with him because I was eating a little bit later, but I sat with him. I bought him a meal and I sat with him while he ate and we kind of just shared life together for a little bit. And then when I could see in the distance my friend had arrived, I said goodbye to this gentleman, met up with my friend and we went just down the road and had a bite to eat. And didn't think much more of it until the end of the night. And we'd been in this restaurant for 2 or 3 hours. We'd had a meal, we'd had a few drinks, and we came to settle the bill at the end of the night. And the manager of this place came over and he refused to let us pay. Now, I don't know whether you've ever had this experience before. I haven't. It doesn't happen too often in a restaurant, does it? We find ourselves in this bizarre situation where we were trying to negotiate with him to pay the bill. You know, he was saying, you're not paying at all. No, we'd like to pay 50%. No, you're not paying 50%. His argument was the food hadn't been quite as quick as he wanted it to be. Therefore, he wouldn't let us pay a thing. He didn't let us pay for drinks. In the end, we tried to smuggle a tip in. And that was the best we could do. As I walked back to the station that night, obviously I connected those two events together. And it struck me that I came into London that night expecting to pay for a meal. And that God needed me to pay for a meal. But it just wasn't mine. And actually, sometimes when we're engaged in hospitality, when we're seeking to serve and to meet the needs of others, I often feel, certainly in our lives, that God just takes care of the rest. That God is at work and God is doing that all the time. And maybe that's been a reminder, and maybe it'll be a memorable story for us all in terms of how God is at work. God is always providing if we've just got the eyes to see what's going on around us. I want to just move it on to the next slide, if I can, and make this connection between friendship and hospitality. I'm not going to spend the next half an hour telling you how important friendship is. I think we get that. I hope you've got friends that you are greatly blessed by, and we all recognize the importance of friendship and having people walking life with us. But let's start with this top point here, that a church that knows one another, where deep friendships have been built and continue to be built, is one that is well equipped for reaching out into its community and welcoming others in. That actually where we have those deep friendships already, There is a community there that we can invite people into. It should make hospitality easier. And I'm sure many of us will testify to that, that actually when we engage in hospitality with others, when we're part of a team that's serving tea and coffee at the end of the service and we're not doing it all on our own, not only is it more enjoyable, but it makes it easier. We can invite more people in. But we know with any blessing that we have, and that friendship is equally a blessing to all of us, that sometimes there's that human temptation to want to keep those blessings to ourselves. We know sometimes we can do it with material things. There's that little voice in our head that says, don't be too generous, because if you give too much away, when you need it, you may not have it anymore. And maybe sometimes that little voice that says similar thing to us when it comes to friendships. I often reflect, I think one of the most difficult things about transitioning from being a child to being an adult and going through this period of adolescence is that friendship often becomes complicated and jealousy can become a part of that. That actually if we establish two or three really close friendships, there's part of us that says, actually, let's just keep things as they are, because this feels good and this feels comfortable, this feels secure. I'm not too sure whether we want to welcome other people into this group, because at the moment it's just right. And actually, if my friends spend too long with other people, maybe they'll decide they prefer those people to me, so I better try and guard against that. And whilst I think we can observe that in secondary school settings and settings like that, I think sometimes that can be something that we can be aware of in our own lives as well. I promised Dave this morning, I think he's gone out with the kids, hasn't he? I promised Dave, he said, when I spoke today, I had to recommend a book. So I've brought a book for him to take away today. And this is where that quote at the bottom comes from. It's a book called The Common Rule, Habits of Purpose in the Age of Distraction, which could really be reworded, Habits of Purpose in the Age of the Mobile Phone. And he talks about some of the struggles and difficulties he's had in his own life and actually how building certain habits that are really helpful and keeping focused on God have been so helpful to him. And he talks in this book about the importance of friendship. And his habit, he talks about each week having 1 hour of deep conversation with a friend each week, which actually doesn't seem like a great deal. And then sometimes we stop and go, actually, when was the last time I did that? And does that happen every week? And he talks in the book about the importance of journeying together. But then he also says this, we ruin the goodness of blessings when we refuse to use them to bless others. The nature of true friendships is not to shut the outsider out, it is to draw them in. And maybe when we think about the strong friendships that we have within this community and beyond, how do those friendships serve to draw people in? How do they serve to draw people closer to Jesus? How, through our friendships, can we become even more hospitable than we were already? And I guess as we reflect on that, that answer's different for all of us, isn't it? We have to think about our own context, our own friendships. But how can our friendships serve to just expand the hospitality that already happens here? I'd like to bring us back to the passage, if I can, to close. And as I read through these final verses again, I'm going to lead us in prayer afterwards, and I think the band are going to start to make their way up as well. But I'd like us, as I read these verses, to think about how they speak to us this morning. What is God saying to us about the nature of our hospitality, about how we build friendships, and about how we do that in a way that makes the kingdom evident to all? That says all are welcome. Not just in this gathering on a Sunday morning, but in the way that we live our lives with God throughout the whole week. And so Jesus said to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, brothers, sisters, relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Amen.